This is an
Ian
special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you look very handsome.
Ian's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I want to go chase the squall.
Peter's nothing interesting to say.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hello, world, and welcome to ENN, which, of course, today is, you know who it's brought to you by, my dearest of friends at All American Ford Auto Group. Shop the largest and best Ford in the Northeast at allamericanford.net. The largest selection, the best prices, locations in Paramus, Hackensack, Old Bridge, and Point Pleasant, New Jersey. We'll start off by saying good evening to Michael.
So it's not brought to you by Domino's? Is that what you're saying?
I wish.
I'm a baseball savant.
And good evening to Don.
I love meatballs.
Well, we talked about the Knicks a few minutes ago, but we did not mention that Forbes did a list of NBA franchises. The average NBA franchise is now valued at slightly more than $2.1 billion. The New York Knicks are the number one most valuable franchise in basketball at $4.6 billion. The Lakers are second at 4.4, and the Warriors are third at 4.3. How do you like that?
And remember when they forced Donald Sterling to sell the team and the billionaire Ballmer paid 2.2, people, their heads are exploding. Now it's a bargain. I mean, right across Staples Center, it's 4.3, right, for the Lakers?
Mm-hmm.
So he could sell that team now for profit. That was the beginning.
How much did they pay?
$2.2 billion. And people went nuts. People went nuts when they bought the Dodgers for 2.2. Remember,
we should have bought both. We should have gotten the Dodgers and the Clippers.
You couldn't get the Dodgers now for $5 billion.
You really don't think so?
I don't think so. I mean, so when people react outrageously when these big bucks are spent, the one thing that you can always tell with sports teams, they never go down in value. But for some reason, and I know the reason, because there's no better programming on television now because it's DVR proof, is live sports.
Right.
It fills up a lot of time. And the values of these franchises have gone up exponentially. I mean, the Kansas City Royals was just sold for $1 billion. The Royals in Kansas City. The Royals.
Could it get any cheaper? What do you think is the cheapest you get a hockey franchise for, Don?
Maybe $750 million, I would think. Somewhere about that. You know, if you like the Winnipeg Jets. I'll look that up.
We should all go in on the Jets.
That's still a lot of money,
Don,
brother.
Michael puts in $749 million. You and I find a way to split the last.
Wait a second. You want me to spend all the money I have in the bank and empty it?
Well, no, not all. I said $749, most of it.
You want me to spend most of the money I've earned over all my life to buy the Winnipeg Jets?
It'd be fun to make Don the GM and the voice.
You can turn it for a profit.
Very funny story. I almost bought a piece of a major league franchise once.
You did?
There was I think this was when John Henry was buying the Marlins. So he had like 3 points that he owned of the Yankees, and he had to get rid of them. And the Yankees had just won the World Series against the San Diego Padres. And I'm on the team flight. George Steinbrenner's on the flight as well. And I said, can I buy a point? And he goes, what? I said, can I buy a point of the team? I'll take out a loan. I would really like to own a point of the Yankees. And he said, no, you can't. I said, why not? He goes, because I don't want you to be an owner of the Yankees. And he laughed, and that was it. But if I had bought a point, then you know how much it's worth now? That point you could have gotten maybe
for
a million bucks. Maybe a million. Maybe at the most $3 million, right? You couldn't get a point. I mean, the Yankees are worth $5 billion. So if there's 100 points,
that
would have been a great investment.
Huge. Huge. You'd be killing it.
But he laughed at me.
How often would you talk to George on the plane?
He wasn't on the plane very often. I mean, they just won the World Series, so he was there, so he was on the plane.
What was he doing on the plane ride after winning the World Series?
Probably thinking how they'd win the next year.
Was he celebrating?
No, he wasn't. No, he wasn't. He was happy. He was, you know, he's smiling because they stayed over in San Diego because they swept. So they had made no plans to leave after game four. So they stayed over. They had parties in San Diego, and then they flew the next morning.
Oh, so this was after celebrating had happened?
Yes. But, I mean, he wasn't going to go crazy celebrating.
Were other people still celebrating on the plane?
No.
So the day after they'd gotten it out, like they'd already partied hard enough that everyone was just kind of...
Yeah, everybody was in a great mood. And I mean, the only piece of memorabilia that I really, really cherish, everybody was passing around baseballs to get signed by the team because it was the greatest team of all time, 125 and 50. So I had a ball and I passed it around. Everybody was signing it. All the players were signing it. But I'm the only one who went up to George Steinbrenner and said, I'd like you to sign the ball. He goes, why? I said, you own the team. I'm the only one who has a whole team ball, wow, also signed by George Steinbrenner. He goes, what do you want this for? I said, one day I'm going to have kids and I'm going to have to put them through college. This will do it.
And now you're not going to sell that ball because you're rich as can be. You don't
I
need to.
I would never sell that ball.
What do you think that ball could go for? Can we get someone to appraise that? What could Michael's World Series ball, signed by everyone,
every Yankee on the team, including the owner, who never signed that stuff?
Also, did that team have like Strawberry and Doc too?
It had Strawberry. I don't think it had Doc. Strawberry was on the team.
And that's Jeter.
Yeah, oh yeah.
That's a hell of a ball.
You have Strawberry, Tino. Jeter, Tino. Bernie,
mm-hmm.
Mariano, George. I mean, that's
Joe Torre.
I mean, that's a fantastic ball.
That's right.
Let me borrow it.
What would you do? Play catch with it?
No, it's like the movie Uncut Gems. You know how Kevin Garnett just wants to hold the crystal. Mm-hmm. Let me just hold the ball for a week. I'll bring it back to you.
Yeah, don't let him do that.
Lakeith Stanfield will bring it back to you.
Why would he ever give that away? That was so weird.
Because KG wanted it.
No, but why would KG give him the ring?
Because he wanted the crystal that much.
It was crazy.
The crystal's worth more than the ring.
You get dominoes all over. By the way, things are going well for the Garden. The Rangers are also the richest NHL franchise. $1.65 billion.
So you're saying that the rush to sell the team may not be there.
But I was wrong. You can get the Arizona Coyotes for $300 million.
Are you serious?
Let's do it.
You guys aren't even getting on that. RJ, Andrew, I think the three of us should get in on that. The Coyotes. And by the way, first thing I do, I come in, I change the logo to RJ.
And you know what we'd be having, though? Andrew would like want to be part of it, and he would Venmo RJ the money, and RJ would refuse the Venmo.
That's right.
Yeah.
RJ, we have to pay you back. We're all part of this. And RJ would say, no, don't worry about it. I'm fine.
No, then we could really get the bullpen coyote off the ground. Real coyotes in the stadium.
You know what? It's a great point out of you.
I still have no idea what that means because I was off.
You still don't understand the bullpen coyote?
No. No, I don't.
But one day a guy called up and he started suggesting insane things. And when he started suggesting insane things, I started suggesting insane things for baseball. And one of the things that I suggested was a bullpen coyote. That if the game was close, actually the truth is, I've never revealed this before. RJ actually said the term, I think, bullpen coyote in my ear. I had said two other things. And then RJ is like, you could release a coyote that could attack the players. And then I said, oh, yeah, what about a bullpen coyote? And then the caller was offended because he knew I was making fun of him.
And that caller was Trevor Bauer.
And that caller was Trevor Bauer and took it very, very seriously. All right, moving along, everyone. We talked about baseball, the significant rule changes that are being considered. Trevor Bauer, we mentioned earlier on the show, not happy about those prospective rule choices. In fact, he was downright emo about it. I mean, he does not like these new rules being proposed.
I just am so beside myself with Rob Manfred and his ridiculous rule changes that he keeps proposing. We're going to move the mound back 2 feet. We're going to have a three-batter minimum. We're going to, get the games under 3 hours because that's what fans want. Fans don't care if the game's 2 hours and 57 minutes or 3 hours. The reason that you wanted to do that in the first place is because all the people that own media companies that own baseball teams are the ones that voted you in as commissioner in the first place. So you're protecting them. So in that case, you should probably know something about media. You should probably understand what people are connecting with. Since those are the people that voted you in as commissioner, you should probably understand something about media.
Trevor doesn't have a very powerful voice when it comes to inspiring change.
Yeah, it doesn't cut through.
Not exactly.
So a former Yankee, I'm not going to give him up.
Go ahead. If I guessed, will you tell me if I guessed it?
Off the air.
Okay.
Four-time world champion. I'll leave it at that. He texted me, said, I listened to your Trevor Bauer segment. Attendance is down because of the way the game is played now. Strikeouts and homers. Fans don't care about that. There's no strategy in baseball anymore. Look at the National League. No stealing, bunting, hitting and running, nothing. When you take away running into the catcher, breaking up the double play, you take away the excitement of this great game. The way the game is played now, it's crap baseball. Who wants to watch that?
But you can't change that now. It's too late.
You can change the again, I don't know how you legislate smart out of it because they don't believe that bunting and running is a thing to do, but it has changed the what the sport's about diametrically. It's just to sit around and wait for a home run sport.
But I don't know how you change that.
I don't know.
So now you've got to try to change the things you can control.
Well, that's what they're doing. Like, love it or hate it, they're going to try to do something.
I know who that was, by the way.
You do?
Yeah. But if I say it, then it that becomes the answer. And Michael wants to keep it private.
How about this? At the break, you tell me who you think it was. If you're right, I'll give you $5.
Okay.
All right? And then we could tell everybody that he was right, and we still won't tell you who it is.
Ron Renicki, no relation to Jeremy Roenick, will be the manager for the Boston Red Sox, at least the interim manager. How long is that interim? Probably the entire season until Alex Cora can come back.
Well, I'm reading that. They said that it's interim until they get the penalties handed down.
Oh, because that means...
What happens if Ron Renicki is implicated? I guess the Red Sox had to check that out.
What if Alex Cora is not implicated?
Then Alex Cora might be back. But how that Alex Cora was one of the grand poobahs in Houston. He's got to be punished for that because he wasn't a player then.
Well, we also know that we're not going to get a decision this week from the MLB. That has now they hope to have an investigation wrapped up earlier this week. Now they hope it'll be before the start of spring training. But Red Sox reported on Tuesday. Pitchers and catchers, that is. So they're just a few days away from spring training, and they don't have
tomorrow.
So they do not know what the actual punishment that's going to be doled out is going to be. That's pretty messy, Michael.
It's not a good look. It's not a good look. On top of the fact they traded their best player, and they traded one of their better pitchers, and then they also announced today that Chris Sale is not going to start spring training on time because he's not feeling well. But then they had to put out that it's not an arm injury; he's just sick. So. It's not a good time to be a Red Sox fan.
Well, Chaim Bloom still feels confident.
Chaim
Bloom still feels confident. He said, I think it's reasonable to expect that we're going to be worse without them. We have really good talent coming back. We've added talent to the roster this winter, and I think it's important to point out that at the beginning of this winter, this team had a lot more talent than the 84 wins we put up last year. We still think there's plenty of talent here to compete.
I think they're better than people think they're going to be. I really do. I think they will be in it for the second wild card. I don't know if they'll make it, but they will be battling. They will not be an afterthought all year. They're too good. There's too many good players on the team. I mean, you still have J.D. Martinez. I mean, you've got a lot of really good players.
Andre Iguodala returned to Golden State for the first time with the Miami Heat, and he addressed the fans of the Warriors before the game.
From the bottom of my heart, I want to thank everybody that supported me my entire time here. It definitely feels like home every time. Even I just left, but it feels like home. Bay Area fans, my brothers will be back in action. Full throttle next year to wreak havoc on the league for 80 games. Love y'all.
So two games that we're not going to wreak havoc?
It's a good question.
Well, you know what he's saying there. He's saying the two games that you play against me.
Exactly.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Thank you, Andrew.
Way to fix that up, Andrew.
And also, the word was wrong.
Which word?
He said we're going to wreak havoc. It's wreak.
Oh, he didn't say wreak havoc, did he?
Listen.
Oh,
come give on. Another listen.
I mean, probably.
From the bottom of my heart, I want to thank everybody that supported me my entire time here. It definitely feels like home every time. Even I just left, but it feels like home. Bay Area fans, my brothers will be back in action. Full throttle next year to wreak havoc on the league for 80 games. Love y'all.
Wreak havoc.
Instead of recap.
And I use words as tools, but as weapons.
And there's 82 games.
Well,
but Andrew just said
it's
the two games that they play with Heat.
I wasn't interested in the subject, so I should lay that.
He's not even listening.
No, I didn't listen to his thing.
He checked out about a minute ago.
Because we went over this whole thing back and forth.
Sleepy time, Bobos. I was out.
So you admit you're out,
I was out. No,
you're not embarrassed.
No, I'm embarrassed.
I am embarrassed. It wasn't like we were droning. It was just one quick basketball story, and we lost
that. And the thing that made it different was Andrew's voice chimed in.
I still didn't hear it.
Andrew's voice cuts through. You know what I mean?
I agree.
I was trying to come up with something funny with the wreck habit because he wants to wreck the league. So maybe he was just trying to change things up a little.
And really, when does this happen that an opposing player takes the mic? What's going on?
Not that common.
No, it doesn't happen.
It was horrifying.
I will tell you right now, I've noticed recently, that drop is the one drop that makes Michael laugh every time we play it.
Because
there's not
every,
a time. It sounds like it's live.
It's him. It's him. I mean, that's how he talks all the time.
I feel like
he's saying the same thing,
and I laugh.
And then I look up to see, and his mouth is not moving.
That's very true. We had Iguodala came up to Hot 97 a few months ago.
How was that?
That's a very smart dude.
Yeah?
He's pimping this as long as he can because he knows his body's still good to go. And he's going to pick and choose where he plays because he's already accomplished a lot. All of his time and mental energy is in investing. When he went out to the Warriors, a lot of players who go out to the Warriors end up befriending their really rich co-owners and fan base who are all like, Silicon Valley people.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of those guys are just investing money. I saw JaVale McGee over the holidays, and he's a Laker now. He was saying that like his whole life changed from playing with the Warriors, from getting to know the people around that team and the sort of investment opportunities they got as a result to get like generational wealth. It's really interesting.
Why can't I have friends like that?
I don't know.
I don't have generational wealth.
You do not. So do you guys remember that interception late in the Super Bowl that the 49ers defense then?
Of course I do.
They ran down and did the traditional,
yes.
Now the new tradition of celebrating the interception like it's a touchdown.
It's called the D-nozzle celebration.
And at that point, they were already down. The Chiefs were down two scores,
mm-hmm.
plus a turnover. According to the Chiefs kicker, Harrison Butker, he said that might have been the moment that changed the Super Bowl.
Oh,
I mean, probably that celebration that they had, I know it's going around on social media, but I don't know what part of the game it was, but they went up probably by, I guess, 10 when they scored the touchdown, and the whole team celebrating the end zone. It might have been after an interception, but I just felt like the whole mood in the stadium was, you know, the 49ers won the game, but that probably helped to our advantage that they were celebrating so much, and I think they probably
didn't even know exactly what it was.
Yeah, he didn't know what it was.
Patrick Mahomes,
I think it was an interception. Yeah, it was such a big deal. You don't remember the play.
I guess I'll wrap it up.
Yeah, I'm with Greg. They're not football players.
What do you mean?
Kickers are football players, Jace.
Can I point out something that Jody pointed out?
That was from NFL Total Access and the NFL Network.
As we were watching this, she said, the kicker's name is Harrison Butker? I said, yeah. She goes, what? Now I know why they don't call him Harry. I never thought of that.
Well, when would you have thought of it? How often do you think about Harrison Butker?
I'm just saying, I've seen Harrison Butker play, and I just think of him as Harrison. But if you call him Harry, it'd be Harry
right.
Butker.
And right. And the way Peter says Harry.
Yeah, it's Harry.
He says it like it's Harry.
Yeah. Why is your butt hairs getting so infected?
You know, Mark Teixeira chimed in on the baseball changes.
What did
I don't
he
know
say?
If you want to tease that for the next segment or you want to make it an extension of ENN.
Well, Peter, this is Peter's purview, so I don't like to.
Go ahead.
I don't like the Harrison Butker in.
Oh, wow.
Mark Teixeira has chimed in on Twitter.
Okay.
He says, I've been asked a lot to give my 2 cents on the possible MLB playoff changes. I like more teams, but I would decrease regular season games and go to 8 teams per league in playoffs. 5 games in first round, 7 games after that. No buys, NBA, NHL style.
So he wants to have 16 of 30 teams make it.
Yes.
Yeah, hard
pass. 8 in each league.
That's a lot.
I love picking your opponent. That's the part that's sexiest to me. Why does everybody hate that? Because they don't want the responsibility of, like, angering an opponent. So what? Take something from wrestling.
I like it. Actually, you know what? You know what's funny? I read an article on Yahoo Sports that I thought was interesting saying the baseball playoff ideas are so good that the NBA should steal it immediately. The NBA should do the same thing. A bye for the best team in each conference and getting to select their opponent. And getting to have that sort of day that we're going to anticipate now where you'll see teams having almost a selection show. They thought,
right.
And I thought, actually, I have to tell you, I thought it was a really great point. It would tie into the NBA nicely.
And think about this. You're so worried about load management, right? Under that idea, maybe there's no load management. Everybody will go all in to have the best record so they can get that rest going into the playoffs. So wouldn't there be more of a fight for the one seed? Because you're starting to see that now. Teams don't care about the one seed anymore. They'll actually battle for it if they can get some rest.
Taysom Hill, or as Michael calls him, Tayshaun Hill, is apparently throwing down. He is going to give it his all to become a quarterback in this league and not just be the specialty player that he is for the Saints and says he'd be willing to leave if an opportunity came up for him to be a starting quarterback. Here's Dan Graziano on the ESPN Daily Podcast.
There's a theory going around that they want to transition to a Taysom Hill, you know, as starting quarterback kind of offense and try and do like a Lamar Jackson style thing. I mean, I think that's crazy. I don't know what you think, but like that sounds nuts to me because A, Taysom Hill is going to be 30 years old when the 2020 season starts and he's thrown, I think, 13 NFL passes or something like that.
The most effective quarterback was Tayshaun Hall. Do you know that Mike Westhoff,
underrated,
who was a special teams coach for the Saints a couple of years ago,
right. mm-hmm.
came out and said today that Hill throws the ball better than Lamar Jackson?
I might believe that. I think Tayshaun Hall throws the ball a nice ball.
But I think he's better suited for what he's doing. I don't know if he could be an everyday quarterback per se. He's a restricted free agent, so...
He's going to test it out, see what options there are.
I mean, it all depends on whether or not Breeze is coming back. There's still rumors that he might not.
Now, I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Breeze doesn't come back. You think they skip over Bridgewater and go Hill?
Well, maybe they'll go Brady.
You're just desperate for that. You want Brady to pop up somewhere else.
I'd like Brady to stay in New England.
You would? Yeah. I Don, where do you land? I think it would be more fun to see him pop up somewhere else.
Yeah, I agree.
And I don't care at all about the Patriots' legacy or anything.
Because I'm really curious to get an answer on who needs who, right?
It's not going to be a true answer. He's 43 years old, so he's not the same player.
But remember, there's that side where Belichick has that 11-5 Matt Castle season. Even though they go to the playoffs, they won 11 of their 16 regular season games with Matt Castle, who parlayed that into a contract and fell on his face. So we knew Matt Castle wasn't any good. So I'm kind of curious to see what New England will be without him. What if they go out there and win 10, 11 games next year?
I mean, how fascinating would it be? If either one of them wins without the other, it would be gold.
But Michael makes a point. At 43, Brady fails. Hey, he's 43 years old. But if Belichick wins without him, again, you know, double-digit wins, goes to the playoffs, now you look at the collective, going to the playoffs in Cleveland, winning 11 games with Matt Castle, whoever their quarterback is next year, win 11 and 12 games again. Wouldn't that pretty much lock it up that it's Belichick that's more important?
It would be especially if Brady is not good, even if 43 or not. Well, guys, this pains me to play. One of the biggest moments in sports history on this day. 30 years ago.
That's 1990.
See Mike the way he went back in his field, doesn't have the good balance, his legs together, is busted, landing these... Oh, nice uppercut by Buster Douglas! Hits the canvas. He's in big trouble. He may not be able to recover. It's up to 7 and 8. He's not going to make it. Unbelievable. Buster Douglas is the new heavyweight champion of the world.
Yeah, sometimes we make fun of announcers that scream. That was, you had to.
Who was that?
And by the way, I don't remember who guy's name was, because it wasn't the regular. That call, there was a Lampley, there's a Lampley call of that also, but the fight was weird because it was in Tokyo, and I think it still aired live here, and Lampley had the call, but that's maybe the international call.
Because that call was fabulous. He deserves credit.
Andrew, can you tell me
that
was?
It's a big moment in sports. We should know who it is.
That guy called a lot of boxing stuff at that time, and it really was a great call, 30 years ago.
Bob Sheridan, they call him the Colonel.
Tremendous call. And truly, we always talk about other upsets, and maybe you could
one
argue.
One of the greatest upsets in sports history, if not the greatest.
I mean, I guess Virginia losing a few years ago is in the conversation, but you know what, listen, ultimately.
But Virginia wasn't Mike Tyson.
And that's what I'm saying. A collection of 12 kids playing basketball is not the same as the greatest force we'd ever seen in heavyweight boxing.
Yeah, it's amazing what happened.
It's absolutely fascinating. I cannot believe it's been
30
years.
Remember when we had Buster Douglas sitting here and I called him Buster only?
I remember it like it was yesterday. It's one of my favorite moments in the history of the show.
Buster only joins us. How you doing, champ? But since then, I do call only champ.
As you should. That'll do it for ENN on this Tuesday evening.
Thank you.
It was good.
Good
Chock
one.
Full.
Good one. All right, we're going to take phone calls up until this.
Ireland.
He has a super packed half hour.
Is that true?
Yeah. Until Don takes over the airwaves again. Because Don's going to come up for air for a half hour, and then boom, right back on the air.
By the way, I don't want to make you jealous, but Laura Stiles invited me to an event on this Saturday night of All-Star Weekend. Uh-huh. I think you'd be really excited about it.
What is it?
Nas, right. The Baby, all performing at a Hennessy event this Saturday night All-Star Weekend.
Cookies.
Now,
Laura Stiles.
How old is the baby?
This is really where you want to go with it, huh?
How old is the baby?
I would say the baby is 24 years old.
I mean, when do you stop calling somebody the baby, then?
It's a good point.
Why can't he be called the adult, the adolescent?
Do you really think the adult is a catchy name?
Now, is it the baby or da baby?
It's da baby. And it's going to be an extra fun event, too, because actually Hennessy and the NBA just announced a multi-year partnership. Hennessy signs on as the official spirit of the NBA, WNBA, and USA Basketball. First time anything's been done like this with a major league.
Now, where is this party?
This party's going to be in Chicago.
And Stiles is going to be in Chicago.
Oh, yeah. We're all going to be there partying it up.
Ebro, too?
No, Ebro's not going to be there.
He'll be tweeting somewhere.
He'll be tweeting galore, wherever.
He might tweet more than any human being on the planet.
It's I got to tell you. Andrew has a term sometimes for how I feel about Ebro's tweeting, and there's only one way to describe it. And I think
it was horrifying.
That's correct.
Does he realize he's going to get into trouble one day? He comments on everything.
That's only to Peter's benefit.
Oh, my God.
How old do you think Bob Sheridan was when he called that fight?
35.
Let's not play this game. I can't do it. It's going to make me feel horrible.
35.
I'm going to say he was 45 years old.
He was 45 years old.
So he's 75 now.
Yes.
We should get him on. Tremendous.
He's in the
goal.
World Boxing Hall of Fame.
Yeah, he did a lot of 80s boxing stuff.
A lot of Ali, too.
Yeah, I mean, if you go watch old boxing on YouTube, you hear that dude's voice all the time, and I never realize his name even.
Speaking of Ali, there's a special on HBO coming up. It could be today or tomorrow where, you know, Dick Cavett had on Ali like 16 times.
Yeah, that looks very good.
Can't wait to see that.
Looks tremendous.
Yeah, can't wait to see that. That should be great. 1-800-919-3776. Let's talk about it. Domino's, the whole deal. Everything's on the plate. Kayla Greco-Rosenberg and you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
That's right, man.
Don't miss Michael, Don, and Peter weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, or look for us under Listen on the ESPN app.